The fourth Sunday of Lent. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 9, verses 1 to 41. As Jesus went along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, for him to have been born blind?" "Neither he nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. "He was born blind so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as the day lasts, I must carry out the work of the one who sent me. The night will soon be here when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made a paste with spittle, put this over the eyes of the blind man and said to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," a name which means sent. So the blind man went off and washed himself and came away with his sight restored. His neighbours and people who earlier had seen him begging said, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "Yes, it is the same one." Others said, "No, he only looks like him." The man himself said, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how do your eyes come to be open?" "The man called Jesus," he answered, "made a paste, dabbed my eyes with it and said to me, 'Go and wash in Siloam.' So I went, and when I washed, I could see." They asked, "Where is he?" "I don't know," he answered. They brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. It had been a Sabbath day when Jesus made the paste and opened the man's eyes. So when the Pharisees asked him how he had come to see, he said, "He put a paste on my eyes, and I washed, and I can see." Then some of the Pharisees said, "This man cannot be from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How could a sinner produce signs like this?" And there was disagreement among them. So they spoke to the blind man again, "What have you to say about him yourself, now that he has opened your eyes?" "He is a prophet," replied the man. However, the Jews would not believe that the man had been blind and had gained his sight without first sending for his parents and asking them, "Is this man really your son, who you say was born blind? If so, how is it that he is now able to see?" His parents answered, "We know he is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know how it is that he can now see, or who opened his eyes. He is old enough. Let him speak for himself." His parents spoke like this out of fear of the Jews, who had already agreed to expel from the synagogue anyone who should acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. This was why his parents said, "He is old enough. Ask him." So the Jews sent for the man and said to him, "Give glory to God. For our part, we know that this man is a sinner." The man answered, "I don't know if he is a sinner. I only know that I was blind, and now I can see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He replied, "I have told you once, and you wouldn't listen. Why do you want to hear it all again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" At this they hurled abuse at him. "You can be his disciple," they said. "We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this man, we don't know where he comes from." The man replied, "Now here is an astonishing thing. He has opened my eyes, and you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but God does listen to men who are devout and do his will. Ever since the world began, it is unheard of for anyone to open the eyes of a man who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do a thing. Are you trying to teach us? They replied. And you a sinner through and through since you were born? And they drove him away. Jesus heard they had driven him away, and when he found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Sir, the man replied, Tell me who he is, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, You are looking at him. He is speaking to you. The man said, Lord, I believe, and worshipped him. Jesus said, It is for judgment that I have come into the world, so that those without sight may see, and those with sight turn blind. Hearing this, some Pharisees who were present said to him, We are not blind, surely. Jesus replied, Blind? If you were, you would not be guilty. But since you say, We see, your guilt remains.
The scene is a street in Jerusalem. Judas Iscariot draws Jesus' attention to a young blind man feeling his way with a stick. And Judas says, Master, look at him. He has no eyelids at all. His forehead is joined to his cheeks without any cavity, and there are no eyeballs underneath. This poor fellow was born like that, and he will die like that without even once seeing the light of the sun or the face of a man. Tell me, Master, he has certainly sinned to be punished so severely, but if he was born blind, as he definitely was, can he have sinned before being born? Perhaps his parents committed sin, and God punished them by allowing him to be born like this. The other apostles press around Jesus to hear his reply, and two well-to-do men of Jerusalem, who were a little behind the blind man, quicken their paces, hastening towards Jesus as if they were attracted by the height of the Master who towers above the crowd. Also there is Joseph of Arimathea, who remains at a distance, and leaning against a main door raised on two steps, he looks around, watching all the faces. Jesus replies, and his words are clearly heard in the silence which has been created. Neither he nor his parents have sinned more than any man sins. Perhaps they have sinned less, because poverty often refrains from sin. But he was born like this so that once again the power and the works of God may be revealed through him. I am the light that has come to the world so that those of the world who have forgotten God or have lost his spiritual image may see and remember him. And those who seek God, who already belong to him, may be confirmed in their faith and love. But as long as I am in the world, I am light and witness, word, way and life, wisdom, power and mercy. So, go, meet the man born blind and bring him here to me. Judas says, Will you go, Andrew? I want to stay here and see what the Master does. Judas points at the Master, who has bent down on the dusty road, has spat on the ground, and with his finger is mixing the dust with the spittle, forming a pellet of mud. Andrew comes back, holding by the hand the blind man, who is anxiously repeating, I don't want money, let me go. I know where the man named Jesus is. And Andrew says, This is Jesus. He is here in front of you. And they stop in front of the Master. Jesus, contrary to his usual habit, does not ask the man anything. He at once spreads the little mud which he has on his forefingers on the closed eyelids and says, Now go as quickly as you can to the pool of Siloam and do not stop to speak to anybody. The blind man obeys. His first steps are slow, as if he were pensive or disappointed. Then he quickens his pace, grazing the wall with his stick, walking faster and faster, as fast as is possible for a blind man. The two men of Jerusalem laugh sarcastically, shaking their heads, and go away. Joseph of Arimathea, and this amazes me, follows them without even a word of greeting to the Master. I lose sight of Jesus because the Lord wants me to follow the blind man and his followers. They eventually come out on the street leading to the Siloam pool, always in the following order. First, the blind man, who must be well known in that quarter of common people, then the two men, and last, at some distance, Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph stops near a poor house, half hidden. The two men, instead, go near the pool and watch the blind man, who washes his eyes once, twice, three times. At the third time, he drops his stick and presses his face with the other hand, uttering a cry which sounds like a painful one. He then removes his hand slowly, and his previous painful cry changes into a shout of joy. Oh, Most High, I can see! And he throws himself on the ground, overwhelmed with emotion. He repeats, I can see, I can see. So this is the earth, and this is the light. Raising his arms towards the sky, he shouts, May you be blessed, Most High, because of Jesus. And he runs away, leaving his now useless stick on the ground. The two men have not waited to see all that. As soon as they realized that the man could see, they ran towards the town. Joseph, instead, remains until the end, and when the blind man, who is no longer blind, darts past him, he leaves his place and retraces his steps towards the town, looking very pensive. Back in the suburb of Ophel, in the house where the young man lives, Joseph finds great turmoil and confusion. The two men previously mentioned are there with three others. They hear the young man explaining how one of Jesus' apostles persuaded him to be where Jesus would be passing the next day, the Sabbath, and that Jesus would cure him. He says, I went. Who would not have gone when one of his apostles says so? I had not yet arrived when another man took me by the hand. By his voice I knew that he was not the man who spoke to me yesterday, so I didn't want to go. I repeatedly asked him to let me go, and then he said to me, This is Jesus here in front of you. And then I felt two fingers covered with wet earth touch me, here and here. And I heard a voice say, Go to the Siloam pool quickly and wash yourself, and don't speak to anybody. And I did so. But I was downhearted because I was hoping to see it once. I almost concluded that it was the joke of some heartless youngsters, and I almost decided not to go. But I heard a kind of voice within me say, Hope and obey. So I went to the pool, I washed myself, and I could see. And the young man stops, ecstatically remembering the joy of his first vision. Let that man come out. We want to question him, shout the five men. The young, cured fellow elbows his way through the crowd and goes to the door. Where is the man who cured you? I don't know, replies the youth, to whom a friend whispered, They're scribes and priests. What do you mean you don't know? You were saying just now that you knew. Don't lie to the doctors of the law and to the priest. Woe to those who try to deceive the magistrates of the people. I'm not deceiving anybody. I don't know where he is now. The disciple told me that he was going away. He may be already outside the gates. But where was he going? How would I know about that? Perhaps he's going to Galilee, considering how he's treated here. You disrespectful fool, be careful how you speak. And you scum of the mob, I asked you, which way did he go? But how can you expect me to know if I was blind? Can a blind man say which way another man is going? The five men insist on bringing the young man, whose name is Bartholomew, to the chiefs of the Pharisees. And if it was not for the assurance of Joseph of Arimathea, whom the people greatly respect, that no harm would come to the man, there would have been a riot. Joseph says to the Pharisees, I was present without being seen at this man's meeting with the rabbi and at his recovery, and I can tell you that it was completely accidental as far as the rabbi was concerned. The man was led, or rather invited, to go where the rabbi was by Judas Iscariot, who is known to you. And I heard how Judas induced Jesus of Nazareth to work the miracle. I now testify here that if there is one who ought to be punished, it is neither the blind man nor the rabbi. Judas is the only one responsible for what happened, as he provoked it with deliberate maneuver. That is my statement. What you state does not cancel the fault of the rabbi. If one of his disciples sins, the master must not commit sin. And he sinned by curing this man on a Sabbath. Joseph replies, to honour the Sabbath by means of a miracle is a grace of God and a sign of his bounty. It is his day. Can the Almighty not celebrate it with a miracle that makes his power shine brightly? We're not here to listen to you. You are not accused. We want to question that man. It's for him to reply. Now, how did you get your eyesight? Oh, I've explained that, and these people heard me. The disciple of that Jesus said to me yesterday, come and I will have you cured. And I came, and I felt some mud being put here, and I heard a voice say to me to go to the Siloam pool and wash myself, and I did it, and now I see. But do you know who cured you? Of course I do. Jesus, I told you. But do you know exactly who Jesus is? Oh, look, I know nothing. I'm poor and ignorant. And up to a short time ago, I was blind. I know that. And I know that he cured me. And if he was able to do that, God is with him. Don't blaspheme. God cannot be with those who do not keep the Sabbath, some shout. What do you say of him who opened your eyes? As far as I'm concerned, he is a prophet. A hostile reaction follows. Bartholomew is ejected and then brought back. His parents are summoned also, and they go in looking frightened. One of the Pharisees rudely asks, listen to us, is that man your son? Of course he's our son, and who would it be if it were not him? Are you really certain? The mother and father are so amazed at the question that they look at each other before replying. Answer my question. Noble Pharisees, do you think that a father and a mother may be deceived with regard to their child? Says the father humbly. But the Pharisees are not disheartened. They ask, was your son not born blind? Yes, he was. His eyelids were closed and there was nothing under them. Another Pharisee, laughing sarcastically, says, ha ha! How come he can now see? He has eyes and his eyelids are open. You're not going to tell me that eyes grow just like that, like flowers at springtime? We know that this man has really been our son for almost 30 years and that he was born blind. But we do not know how he can now see or who opened his eyes. In any case, ask him. He's not an idiot or a little boy. Ask him. and he'll tell you. The Pharisees then turned to Bartholomew, saying, Don't you know that he who touched your eyes is a sinner? I don't know whether he's a sinner or not. I only know that previously I was blind and now I can see, and quite clearly. But what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? I've already told you and you didn't listen to me. Now you want to hear it all over again. Why? Do you want to become his disciples? Oh, you can be the disciple of that man. We're the disciples of Moses, and we know everything about Moses and that God spoke to him. But of this man we know nothing, where he comes from, who he is, and no prodigy of heaven points him out as a prophet. And that is just what is wonderful, says Bartholomew, that you do not know where he comes from, and you say that no prodigy points him out as a just man. But he opened my eyes. And none of us in Israel has ever been able to do that. Not even the love of a mother and the sacrifices of my father. But there is one thing that we all know, both you and I. In no part of the world has it ever been heard that anyone was able to open the eyes of a man born blind. But this Jesus has done that. And if he didn't come from God, he wouldn't have been able to do it. Ah, you were born a sinner through and through. You are as disfigured in your spirit as you were in your body, and even more so. And you pretend to teach us? Go away, cursed abortion, and become a demon with your seducer. Go away, all of you foolish, sinful people. And they eject the son, father and mother as if they were three lepers. It is some time later on a dull winter morning. Jesus leaves the temple, and while walking with his apostles towards the Ophel district, he recognizes the face of the man he cured miraculously. He calls him and says, I congratulate you, and I bless the Most High who has been kind to you. Oh, yes, says Bartholomew, but the Hebrews ejected me from the synagogue. Why? What have you done? I? Nothing, I assure you. The Lord did it. On a Sabbath, he made me find that man who is said to be the Messiah, and he cured me, as you can see. And that's why they drove me out. And Jesus says, Then he who cured you did not do you a completely good turn. Jesus is tempting him. Don't you know that all those who follow him who cured you are persecuted? Yes, yes, I know, but he is the Son of God. So do you believe in the Son of God and in his presence in Palestine? I do believe it, but I would like to meet him to believe in him, not only with my intellect, but with my whole self. If you know who he is and where he is, tell me so that I may go to him and see him, and I may believe in him completely and serve him. You have already seen him, and there is no need for you to go to him. He whom you see just now and who is speaking to you is the Son of God. The young man prostrates himself on the ground and adores Jesus, saying, I believe, Lord, my God. Stand up. I came into the world to bring light and the knowledge of God and to test men and judge them, that they may find what their spirits long for. I came so that those who were blind may see, because men have built thick walls to obstruct light, that is, the knowledge of God, and those who consider themselves seers may become blind. Some Pharisees who have cautiously approached the group at the back of the apostles interrupt. Are we among those blind people as well? Jesus is asked. If you were and you tried to see, you would not be guilty. But it is because you say, we see, and then you do not want to see, that you commit sin. Your sin persists. Azariah, Maria's guardian angel, gives some advice for would-be evangelists. To the deniers, the uncertain, or the denigrators of the miracle, you can make that luminous statement of the man born blind. To those who reproached him for having received his sight from a reprobate, he said, "I don't know if he is a sinner, but I know this alone, that I was blind and now I see." Ever since the world began, there has never been talk of someone's opening the eyes of a man born blind. If the one who healed me was not God, he couldn't have done it. Yes, that's how you can reply. You can say to those insinuating doubts about the spokeswoman, "We don't know what she is. We know only that she has healed our spirits. Ever since the world began, there has never been talk of the devils having opened the eyes of one who was in sin to the light of God. If the one who healed us were not an instrument of God, her pages would not have been able to convert us."